Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and you're watching or listening to Answers Network. Now know that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases, entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. Now, not to worry, if you can't listen live, all of our shows can be found at answers.network. And I'd really appreciate if you could all do me a huge favor. Please subscribe or forward one of our shows to your social media groups and someone you know who can benefit from a particular subject. This is one powerful way we can make a positive influence in the world together. Now, it's an interesting thing. When I started this show, my goal was to introduce parents of at-risk youth to some of the top people in programs in behavioral, mental, and emotional health sectors. When we rebranded to Answers Network, I added more guests on the topic of greater health and longevity. Well, last year I went to a conference that did an incredible job of incorporating all of these areas in one dynamic event. And I was so impressed that I had to meet and interview the organizer, which is exactly what we're doing today. Our guest today is Samantha Quinlan, Executive Director of the Global Exchange Conference. Now, Samantha, I was introduced to you through Alice as Sam. May I call you that?
Of course. Yeah, that would be great.
All right.
All my friends call me Sam.
Well, then I'm blessed to do that. So I'm going to tell everybody a little bit about you. So what I learned was that with over two decades of dedicated experience working in the behavioral, mental, and emotional health sectors, Sam has collaborated with some of the world's most esteemed experts in these fields. Now, I learned that her journey has been deeply rooted in a commitment to addressing the complexities of addiction, mental health, and behavioral health. A commitment that has driven her from founding the leading equine-assisted psychotherapy, known as LEAP, charity, to establishing a residential addictions facility. So, Sam, I can't wait for us to get into this. So, welcome to Answers Network.
Thank you. I'm really pleased to be here. I feel that having kind of learned more and kind of diving in, I think it's that inquisitive mind that we both have. So I was like, okay, I've got to go on a journey and find out more about Alan. And I think I feel very comfortable that I'm in a place where, you know, we want to explore and learn more and break down boundaries and get answers and create change. So I feel really comfortable. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it is my pleasure. So I mentioned a little bit about your background, but how has your background in these areas of behavioral, mental, and emotional health sectors enriched your understanding and reinforced your belief in the power of comprehensive, specialized approaches in treatment and care?
It's a big question. I will try to answer as succinctly as I can. You mentioned my background within this therapeutic environment. Prior to that, I worked in entertainment, and my life's mission was to be on the stage, to be a performer. And I went away to performing arts school, and I experienced all the negatives that I could as a young woman, or as a young girl, kind of glittered with failure, body dysmorphia, dealing with the negatives of mental health, and I found myself on a roller coaster down into substance misuse, and definitely depression, anxiety, and probably in there was a spluttering of, some kind of mental health disorders as well, maybe a little bit of ADHD, a bit of bipolar, all of these things. that I self-medicated on for years. But I worked in entertainment. I created a massive festival in Brighton in the UK called the Brighton and Hove Fringe Festival. And then go forward. 2001, I finally went into treatment, which really was the beginning of what continues to be a really beautiful kind of painful, progressive recovery, even, you know, today. And I did that through therapy, through self-help, through working within the profession, trying out different models. And always, I think, with the essence of not having had a nurturing environment myself, that every time I find something that's nurturing or shows potential or, oh, I wish I could tell everyone about this, that's exactly what I did. Oh, I need to tell everyone about this. I need to tell everyone about this. And that became the process of getting involved and starting to develop events and conferences, not just for, you know, general public, but for professionals. And that's really where we are today in this kind of, as you say, the Global Exchange Conference, which is one big, oh, I need to tell everyone about this.
I have to tell you, as you were saying that, I felt so much synergy. And in fact, one of the thoughts that came to my mind was that I need to introduce you to my sweetheart, because she would tell you that that's what happens in my head, is that she'll look at me and all of a sudden I'll go, oh, I have to tell you about this. And now I have to go tell the world. So I just felt so much synergy. I felt it everywhere. It was great. And to kind of add to that a little bit is that in about 10 years ago, I did some work also in the entertainment industry. And when I started doing that, I started to tell some of the people at some of the conferences that I used to go to. And they said, oh, no, you know, now we're not going to see you. And I said, no, wait a minute. I said, I don't care if I don't have a business in this industry. I will always come to a conference like this because the energy that's here is so uplifting. And I think unless somebody's gone through it, when you spend time, and especially around negative things, and for me, doing things like returning parentally abducted children or breaking up a human trafficking ring, there's so much negativity and it's so ugly. And to go and to be at a conference, and yours being the biggest one I've ever been to, there's thousands of people here. And the energy is, we're all here to help others. Mm-hmm. And it's a feeling that I don't think you can get anywhere else. And you did such a great job of spreading that within the conferences. As I said, I don't have to have a business that I'm selling anything or whatever. I would be there just for that feeling alone.
Thank you. It's, you know, we don't make it easy for ourselves, the Global Exchange team, in as much as it's kind of a disruptor in a way. I think siloed, associated conferences, they absolutely have a critical place, you know, for where doctors meet with doctors, nurses mm-hmm. meet with nurses. For me, the Global Exchange vision was always about it takes a community, it takes a village to see a mm-hmm. person through their life, through all the existential issues that we have, whether or not it's man-made, whether or not it's nature, whether or not it's something that we've inherited. And really to bring together, you know, a community of experts that can talk about from, you know, from birth all the way through to death, that can talk about all of the different issues that we face in our life. And really somewhere where there is a real kind of cross-pollination of all of the kind of mental health professionals, experts, advocates, where we can come together and we can convene and exchange and I really think converge on breaking down systems so that, you know, I'm a mum, I'm a daughter, I'm a wife, I'm a friend, and so often I see people in my family and then in my community having to go here or speak to different individuals or different experts or health providers, and there's different messages and what do I do and where do I go, and it's frenetic. So to bring us all under one roof creates this kind of commonality, and that's really what we're inspiring to do. It is give that offering of a common goal of meeting people where they're at.
And again, it was such a beautiful thing in regards to, you know, meeting the people, but at the same time, you know, I'm one of those that I really enjoy the educational part of it. To be able to go in and to have a seminar on something that is, you know, an issue that hasn't been getting a lot of press or hasn't been getting a lot of information being placed out there, and being able to sit down and listen to some experts talk about something that I know is affecting many people out there. It's a wonderful feeling. And one of the thoughts I had is that, going along with the wonderful feeling, I get people that will ask me about just doing the show. And I have said since the time in which I started it, I get more out of it than I think anybody else does, in the sense that the research that I do with each guest, the knowledge that I gain from speaking to people that are out there like yourself, making a positive difference. So let me ask you this. So what opportunities has your role as the executive director of the Global Exchange Conference afforded you in that area?
I get to have some of the most beautiful and vulnerable conversations with some of the most inquisitive minds. But I get to also meet them at a place of being really human, and being really vulnerable and kind of sharing about what's going on in their life, or meeting with their, you know, with their children, and sharing, you know, how we all are progressing, and that what our struggles might be today. And as I'm saying it, there's all these kind of different people. There's a wonderful, wonderful doctor, Dr. Tian Dayton, who really is the leading light on psychodrama and sociometrics, and is a dear friend. And, you know, we've built that over 16 years. And I was hosting a smaller event with her, and my daughter was staying, and she managed to sit in and watch, and she was kind of 17. And, you know, it kind of changed her trajectory of where she's going in her training and things through sitting in with that with Tian. But, you know, Irvin Yalom, his mind is incredible. But when he influenced us all as professionals with the interpersonal group therapy Bible. But then when we went on to read books like Love's Executioner and his vulnerability around, you know, what's his legacy and what will happen to the field of psychotherapy after he's gone, and as he moves through his life existentially. And, you know, he can't travel anymore, but I was blessed to be introduced to his son, Victor Yalom, who has the company psychotherapy.net. And he's made all these videos of these incredible voices and old sage experts. And and he's now coming, and his mind, and Stephen Porges, someone that's speaking this year, Temple Grandin. I mean,
what a mind. Yeah, I saw the movie that was based on Temple Grandin's life.
Yeah, with Claire Danes.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, she in herself, again, you know, she's an expert. I mean, she does an awful lot around livestock and things, but obviously traditionally she came up through, you know, and became the world's leading advocate on autism and celebrating neurodiversity and the visual thinkers and the mathematical scientific thinkers. And she's going to be with us. And I think what she did was open up for me. Okay, I've always enjoyed expressive therapies because I come from that background. But of course, expressive therapies in with regards to mental health isn't just kind of a gateway to talk therapy, maybe. It's also meeting people with more neurodivergent issues where they're at. And so I think Global Exchange, as you said, because there's that kind of background of entertainments, it felt very comfortable to bring in looking at how we learn through film, how we can access our feelings through spoken word. We have JC Hall that does the hip hop therapy, Brendan Berry, who is, you know, Grammy Award winning musician. But they're all in their own rights doing their own therapeutic sessions on which give resources. Mm-hmm. And is an area that I think we need to talk about more is, you know, as we start to see, especially families and young adolescents, you know, that are maybe struggling with neurodiverse issues, you know, what is available out there and how can we be more sympathetic to the needs of our kind of, you know, our diverse populations today?
I couldn't agree more. It's interesting, as you were mentioning some of those guests, it reminded me that in our public school system, they have taken out so much of art therapy. And I think we're seeing the result of that, you know, that it really is much more valuable and much more needed than I think some of the government decision makers are, you know, are letting on. We're going to take a break in a little bit. But what I want to say to everybody is, Sam, if you could give the website that goes to the conference, I think that would be helpful. And then while we're taking a break, everybody, feel free to open up another window on your computer and you can kind of follow along with the things that we're talking about and sort of look through it and see some of the things that we're talking about right now just by going to that. So, Sam, what is that website?
The website is theglobalexchangeconference.com.
All right. So that's theglobalexchangeconference.com. We're going to take a break, but for everybody, stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to or watching Answers Network.
Conflict International are experts at uncovering the truth. Our specialist team has decades of experience in providing a range of bespoke investigation and intelligence services to companies and individuals. Whether you need professional screening or background checks of employees, due diligence of potential clients or business partners, asset tracing services, or surveillance, Conflict International has a rapid response team on hand to get you to the heart of the matter. Our key strength is in our global capabilities. We can tap into an extensive network of trusted professional investigators based in most jurisdictions worldwide, enabling us to go almost anywhere a case takes us. Conflict International has decades of experience with a diverse range of skills among our team developed from backgrounds in military and security intelligence services, as well as practice lawyers. Visit our website today at conflictinternational.com to find out more about our services. That's conflictinternational.com. Global reach, local knowledge.
And we're back, where you are listening to or watching Answers Network. And we are talking about the Global Exchange Conference. And we're talking about anything that involves health, if it's mental health, if it's emotional health. This is something that you can find at this conference. We're speaking with the founder and the executive director. So, Sam, I was thinking about in regards to the kind of insights that you would have gained. We talked a little bit about some of your previous work, but I don't think we included the fact that you were also the co-founder of ICAD in the UK. And I know many of our listeners will know what ICAD is. But for those that don't, if you can explain a little bit about what it is and how that equipped you for the challenges and opportunities for putting on a conference like you have now.
So ICAD was the International Conferences on Addiction and Associated Disorders. And we would go around the world, Europe, Istanbul, Iceland, and we would basically do like working group conferences where we would share, you know, one country sharing with other people that would visit. So a whole kind of traveling group of us would go to this different countries and explore what kind of modalities and research are being done and kind of learn so that you take the kind of multidisciplinary team to a whole different level in as much as looking at cultural differences, different nuances with regards to laws, regulations. You know, back in the day, what the big thing when Portugal kind of went live with decriminalizing cannabis, you know, when that we were all kind of need to go there. Subsequently, you know, the world has changed. And then in those different countries, there would be different experts that, you know, we would call on quietly but surely trying to bring some of those over to the States as well. But for me, the progression to being over here and being given the opportunity, which really comes through High Watch Recovery Center based in Connecticut, who are the really the custodial keepers of the Global Exchange and Exchange events. It's a legacy piece because High Watch was founded by some of the original members of AA, and one of those was a woman called Marty Mann. And she made it her life's work to go around the country. This is back in, you know, in the 40s and 50s. She was a journalist. Again, you can see that familiarity of that kind of journalism investigation. She made it her life's mission to find out more about how, you know, addiction came about through the disease concept. She Harvard and Yale and Brown's and, you know, did all of that, but then went out and did public service and announced herself as a woman in recovery. And really, she was a founding member of High Watch. So really, it's a continuation of that work. And so the Global Exchange is something that they're very proud of making available. And it's through them that I obviously am kind of sat here and able to bring all of these amazing experts together under one roof.
I was thinking when I was, as you were talking about the ICAD and stuff and traveling around the world. Something that some people may not understand, but how difficult was that on you and your family and your relationship to be, you know, every year you're in a different place?
I mean, today I have a fantastic relationship with my daughter. It took its toll, definitely took its toll. I'm in recovery. Her father is in recovery. She is going down the forensic psychology training. She's at university in Belfast at the moment. But it did take its toll. But it's that thing with regards that, you know, we're all doing the best that we can. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of a phenomenal woman, great advocate, great speaker, expert. She's called Heather Hayes. Okay. And
I know Heather.
And one of the first things that she says whenever she does a presentation is that, you know, her role as an expert and as a facilitator is to really not shame the family, because we go through so much, whether with our children, with our family members. Like, how could we have done different? What could we have done? Is it our fault? It's like we put so much upon ourselves that one of the most important things is to kind of meet the family, meet the individuals where they're at, and really come from a place of compassion and empathy. So I try to, you know, I was talking to my therapist the other week, and, you know, as Missy, my daughter, embarks upon her training, it's like she's going to have therapy. What's going to come up in therapy? How am I going to manage that? Because there's obviously things that, you know, now with hindsight, with more sort of knowledge, I could have done differently. How's that going to be? So that kind of gets you feeling, you know, anxious about that. But as Heather would say, it's like we do the best that we can. And mm-hmm. that's why, you know, professionals, we need to break down these obstacles. And the obstacles are the stigma, is the shame, is the lack mm-hmm. of knowledge, the family secrets, the, you know, reciprocal roles of continuing to kind of have, you know, secret or silent rules. And that's, I think, why trauma work has become, you know, has exploded after the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I want to add something to what you said in regards to the way that Heather starts each speech, because what I want to do is I want to give an example, because for those people listening, and they might go, well, I don't know exactly how that works or how that feels. And the example of what I used to do and what I taught our employees to do, that in many cases, we're talking with the family, we're speaking with the parents of an at-risk child who's going to be taken to a program to deal with whatever that issue is. And so many times the parent, you could feel the fact that they felt so lost. They felt like failures. And at some point in time in the conversation, you know, because they'd be going, well, yeah, you know, you must understand all this stuff because, you know, you came well highly recommended and you can do this. I said, hold on a minute. So let me explain something to you. I said, and at that time, my children were much younger when I started saying this. Mm. And I said, you're making it seem like I have all the answers for your 15-year-old child. And it isn't that I have all the answers, but what it is that your 15-year-old child already knows your buttons and they don't know my buttons. But let me tell you something. Tonight, you would probably have a better chance to get my 5-year-old to go to sleep at 8 o'clock at his bedtime than I can, because even at 5 years old, he already knows my buttons. Dad, can I have a glass of water? Can I have a glass of milk? Can you rub my back? Can you read me another story? They already learned the buttons. And I said, so we're not magic, and you should not feel bad about where you're at. Your child knows your buttons. It makes it more difficult for you. We're going to be able to help you because they don't know ours. But that doesn't mean that you couldn't help us in the same way. And you can see the change in their being at that point, that they don't feel like they're the loser in the room. They don't feel like they've ruined everything. They kind of get it. And so when you mentioned that about the way Heather starts each thing, I couldn't agree more. She's absolutely right. And for anybody out there, that's an example of a way in which you can do that that makes them feel better.
Mm. And I think, things are beginning. I feel really positive. Things are beginning to change. And I think it's becoming so, it's kind of almost in a way going full circle. And whether or not that's because of all the trauma work, and the big boom, whether or not, and I suppose some of the people that we have to thank for that is like Gabor and Bessel. But then, going on as well, and maybe more accessible, it's good to know that, humanistic providers, meeting people where they're at, recovery orientated. Like, I had the great pleasure of meeting and also bringing into the Global Exchange. I'd met her by chance, Stella Keitel and Break Tide, and she works with CTR amongst other things, and introduced me to the Beck Institute. And CTR is kind of recovery orientated therapy, which is for really, really complex mental health issues in young people. Mm-hmm. And they are going more and more into hospitals, institutions, prisons, and this model is so much more humanistic, and meeting them where they're at and what their frame of reference is, and working with that as opposed to trying to kind of, put a round peg in a square hole. And that's happening. And I think, on the same tip of being able to talk more, interestingly enough, there's a film that's just come out. It's a documentary. It's been made over 11 years called Inheritance. It's hard watching, but it's true life. It explores mental health and addiction. It's filmed over 11 years. And it creates a lot of questions as to, how this happened and how the kind of, role in the family and how you see it continuing, and addiction and mental health issues. And the legacy piece. So we're going to be kind of unpacking that. We've got Judy Crane doing that. So kind of getting into some real nitty gritty, but again, using film and expression. I mean, I suppose it comes back to, I think we can be a real resource. Your podcast, through Answers Network, through the Global Exchange. Yes, we innately are, a conference that offers professional development. But I think because that brings together so many different professionals, it also attracts general public. And I think we're probably the best kept secret in being a general public live resource. And we are seeing more and more people come because they want self-help. They want to meet these professionals, meet these experts, to be able to kind of explore for themselves, you know, some of the issues that we're, you know, we're speaking about. So, you know, even having a look at the website and some of this, we tend to try and put, you know, who the speakers are, where they're coming from, what their expertise is, you know, the books that they've written. But yeah, it's, I feel positive that for families and individuals, help is becoming a little bit more accessible. And I know there's a lot of advocates that we have. And we're talking about some really complex issues. You know, when I say about the man-made kind of trauma events, obviously, mm-hmm. with regards to, you know, catastrophic events that our youth are having to face, whether or not that's within the schools or within kind of, you know, mass gatherings, and how we deal with that as family. And then the cultural issues too.
And, you know, and I think an analogy that I see as well, that when you can get that many professionals together, and I love the fact that there's also the general public that just going to learn more, but you know, an example I think is that if you have an orthopedic surgeon, mm-hmm. and an orthopedic surgeon goes to orthopedic surgeon conferences, mm-hmm. so they learn that that's the only fix. That's it, because they are focused on just that. Mm-hmm. They may be, by going out to something like this, and again, just using that profession as an example, you start learning that there are so many other things that you know, this may actually contribute. And if I expand my horizons and learn more about this, they may not actually need surgery. We may be able to do something. So that's another reason why I thought it was so great to bring so many different groups together, because you're taking in knowledge from all different areas that I think makes us think. And the more we think about it, I think the greater opportunities we're going to have to come up with solutions.
Mm. And I completely agree. You know, I don't take it for granted on a daily basis that I can, you know, I'm being introduced to so many different compassionate therapeutic modalities, to professionals, to organizations. It's like the first responders. We have a great group of expert first responders that are working with first responders around, you know, mental health and not having to suffer in silence based upon, you know, the dire situations that many of them find themselves in. And so they're kind of coming together, and with them, they're bringing kind of their associations from like Florida and Atlanta. And there's this movement of, you know, let's not suffer in silence anymore. Too mm-hmm. many first responders are in pain around their, you know, their experiences through what they've taken from the lives that they've saved. That, you know, when my eyes were first opened to that, I was like, of course, but I didn't know enough about it. So to be able to elevate that and put that front of center is really important. And I think, you know, kind of then the segue of the way that we're kind of bringing wellness in, it's like, yes, we will always talk about wellness from a mental health or behavioral health aspect, but actually let's bring in the wellness influencers. I mean, you know, we've got Dave Asprey, like mm-hmm. who I think has over 1 million, you know, followers, and is a really big advocate on doing wellness. And his experience, his life experience is why it got him to this place. And Harley Pasternak and Dr. Brooke Scheller, you know, coming in talking about how functional medicine works, But I mean, Harley's presentation really addresses how we all are, whether or not as a individual, as a family, or in our community, how we're managing the huge burden of having to be all to everything, whether or not it's through social media or through work, or you know, what we're dealing with culturally, the increases in prices. You know, it's kind of just the other week, there was like this windswept effect at work of, oh my goodness, electricity prices are going up. This is you know, how are we managing all of that? And how do we then manage to be well? Because ultimately, if we want a recovery that we work so hard from, whether or not that's trauma or it's a, you know, addiction or it's a disease, or it's an experience, and we manage to work so hard to get into a place of recovery, as you said, there's going to be triggers along the way that we need to balance, and we need to practice an element of wellness in. So, you know, how do we do that under the burden of kind of what's asked of us today? It's really hard. So I think, you know, coming all the way back round, there's an element that our professionals that come to the conference are there to learn, but there's also the fact that the conference is there to provide moments of, we've got you, we're holding you, we hear you, and we're going to give you some unique moments and some unique experiences and insights that make you feel held. And that is kind of what the conference is about as well.
All right. We are listening to Sam Quinlan, and we are talking about the Global Exchange Conference. We're going to take a break. As soon as we come back, I'm going to ask a question in regards to the future. So stay with us. You're listening to or watching Answers Network.
Having a teenager at risk who is going through a traumatic experience can be difficult on parents, siblings, and all who are working with that young person. No family should have to go through this process alone. Westshield Adolescent Services is here to ensure you don't have to. Many of the psychologists and psychiatrists we work with have spoken about the stress families go through. Not just the young person, but the parents, needing to get their child to a program where they can get the help they need. Westshield aims to lessen that stress. Every case goes through a thorough intake process with one of our knowledgeable, compassionate intake coordinators. We want to know the likes, the dislikes, and the fears of each child. This important information is taken into consideration when choosing the best suited team member for each individual teenager. Westshield agents come from all different walks of life, giving us a diverse group of team members to ensure a personalized, compassionate experience for every teenager. This allows us to make certain every young person we work with gets to the chosen program in the best possible state of mind. We contacted over 600 of the youth we've worked with in the past to see where they're at now. 97% of these individuals told us how much their lives had improved, that they had better relationships with their friends and families, had gone on to marry, have kids, and were now using the skills they learned in their program to raise their own children. Our role of transporting at-risk teenagers is a vital step in the process of ensuring a youth's ability to thrive in their new environment, and is a role we don't take lightly. The recovery process can be a long one, but like any journey, it started with a single step.
And we're back, and we're speaking with Sam Quinlan. And so, Sam, I wanted to tell you, so I started this show about 16 years ago after listening to a futurist. As you lead the exchange group into the future, what is your vision?
keep doing what we're doing, to keep on advocating for, you know, for the well-being. I think we have to start, I think areas that we should really start to recognize more within the mental health is how environmentally we can make the two more cohesive. It's happening, and I'm excited by it, but I think that's something that needs to be concentrated on. I think we will continue to, you know, platform the new voices and the agents of change that are coming through today. I think we will continue to advocate for in-person experiences. I am absolutely for accessibility. In as much as I think being able to access all of these online digital conferences, webinars, workshops, podcasts are essential. But should they replace in person live? No, they shouldn't. But it's not an easy thing to do. Financially today, that takes its toll, and you know, it wouldn't be possible. The global exchange wouldn't be possible without a whole heap of support and partnership from all sorts of, you know, kind supporters. So I think we need to advocate for live and in person. I think exchange events, it offers, you know, some smaller like workforce specialist conferences and trainings, and I think they'll continue. We have to keep doing what we're doing, and I maybe that's a really good point at which, you know, Temple Grandin, I think some of her, you know, she always said, never give up on young people, and to celebrate. And however hard it is, no one ever gave up on her. If it wasn't for her family, for her teachers, for her therapists, they didn't give up on her. And hence she is where she is today. And I think it's the same. It's like, we just can't give up. We've got to keep on going. And and maybe that's part of what the magic of global exchange is, that we celebrate that, and we bring these kind of priceless moments and experiences, and we celebrate each other. And that gives renewed compassion and motivation. You know, which is a really important
absolutely. Absolutely. And again, if anybody out there, as I mentioned earlier, if you are of the belief of energy, that you can feel energy. And again, I do seminars. Obviously, we're doing a radio show. It's over the air. But the difference of actually being there and the feeling, the energy that you feel of that many people in one area, all trying to do something good, is an experience that I know I don't want to miss. So we're just about out of time. So I just want to say, when is the next conference and how can people get more information?
Okay. So the big conference is just coming up. It comes up on October the 6th to the 9th, and it's at the Disney Dolphin Resort. So the Swan and Dolphin, and that's in Orlando, right on the edge of Disney. It runs from the 6th to the 9th. The website, which is theglobalexchangeconference.com, you can find out everything you need to do. There's a special Labor Day, actually. I want to say it's Labor, spelt the American way, of course. 24 that offers a discount today through to Thursday. So if you enter the code LABOR24, you should get a really good discount on tickets. Michael J. Fox.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
I said I'd be remiss not to mention Michael J. Fox, the fact that he's going to be with us in person and live. Really, that is about exploring the support of his family through mental health, through being well in illness, and then the kind of family of therapists he has as well. So I think that's going to be a real moment. And I think that's a perfect example of, how we try to bring something to the professionals that give us their valuable time to come to the Global Exchange, a kind of unique, once-in-a-lifetime experience. So I'm excited that you and I get to share the moment together.
Well, and I am looking forward to it. So again, thank you so much for coming on the show. And for everybody out there, if you were driving, if you didn't get a chance to write that down, we'll make sure you can go to answers.network and we'll have it there as well. So again, Sam, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. I could carry on all afternoon.
Well, I already have ideas for the next one, and we'll talk about that offline. And for everybody out there, please be good human beings and start each day being grateful for what you do have and for opportunities to make a positive difference in the world. It just doesn't get much better than that. I know Sam is already making a positive difference in the world. So everybody, good day.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.